Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, December 20th, Sunday, December 21st. It is a great joy to be able to bring the broadcast to you these great days over these great stations. We're on a lot of radio stations now, and I praise the Lord for it. Amen. This is a 30-minute broadcast. I guess it originated really with WIFM in Elk in North Carolina many, many years ago. Been over there over 25 years on that station, and then other stations have now picked it up. And I praise the Lord for us going to different states that we go into with this radio broadcast. We go into South Carolina. We go into Kentucky, Illinois, parts of Indiana. We go into Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, Texas. And I praise the Lord of what God's doing. I hope to expand this next year. I'm working on a project entitled Reaching America for Christ. And I'd like to go into some big cities and get on some radio stations there, not to father my ego, but to father the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the word of the Lord. And if we're going to do anything, we better get it done. The hour's late, and we better walk with God and do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so glad to come to you on this great day. And I pray, Lord, you'll help now and bless the radio broadcast, bless the listener today. Say that's one that one that is nearest hell, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have a good Christmas. I know Christmas is on Thursday this coming week, of course, and I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope God will just bless you, and you just look up. Amen. Well, we start a brand new message today here on the broadcast, and we start message number 31 in the life of David. And Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Amen. So, I praise the Lord for these messages that we preached. And I might have got these titles backwards. I don't know. It seemed like maybe that's a little out of order. But anyway, I praise the Lord. This is message number 31 anyway. So I hope that you will listen to it. I hope it'll be a real blessing to you as you listen today. And may the Lord bless you. Amen. I've enjoyed doing the life of David. I've always wanted to do something on the life of David, and God allowed me to do that. So here's the message of the Word of the Lord. Now we come to our 31st message in the study on the life of David. And we're looking today in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, and we'll look at verses 6 through 9. And the title of our message today, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 6. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what more can he have, and what can he have more but the kingdom? Verse number 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now, Father, will you help us today? I confess every sin. You know our limitations, and be with us and use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come to this portion of Scripture here in 1 Samuel 18, and this is a turning point in the relationship of Saul and David. Now, up to this time, Saul has loved David. David has played before him. David has seen the worst of Saul when the evil spirit was with him. And then David hazarded his life and went out and saved Israel by killing Goliath, and you know that. And then, of course, now they're coming back from the battle, and Saul has already promoted David and really set him over the men of war and made him a great hero in Israel. And now something is going to happen. Now the devil is going to use something. And by the way, sometimes things that are good, the devil, if you're not careful, will use them. And so now the devil is going to use some things here that's going to turn David and Saul. And so David is getting praise, but this praise will cause him trouble for many, many years to come. Now, sometimes fame and popularity is not a good thing. Now, I know that everybody in their life seeks that. Everybody likes to be recognized. Everybody wants to be known, especially, you know, young preachers. And I think that's a bad thing. I think we've taught that in the churches. And I'll be honest with you, I think we need to work on reversing that a little bit because the Bible teaches humility. But now here's David is going to get some unwanted publicity. David didn't ask for it. And yet now it's going to set the stage where Saul's going to be his enemy. So let's look into the scripture today. Let's look back at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 6. The Bible said, "And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music." Now, this was not an uncommon thing in the time of war and in the time of victory for the women to come out and to sing and to dance and to give praise. And by the way, we ought to have some patriotism. Now, in this study on the life of David and in these messages, as I'm preaching these to you, I'm trying to also bring in some practical applications. Now, I could go faster and I could cover more scripture, but the Holy Ghost has had me do it this way. And I think He wants me to bring in some practical everyday living in these verses for you and I. All the Bible, we can get doctrine from all the Bible. Now, I've heard preachers say, well, this book and that book, and I've even been guilty of saying that because, you know, sometimes you repeat what another man says. But there is no book in the Bible that you cannot get doctrine from. I'll give you an illustration. I know that Acts is a transitional book, but you can still get doctrine from the book of Acts if you rightly divide the book of Acts. All right, but anyway, so now as we look here, we see that these women are praising. They're patriots, and that's good. We ought to be. And let me just stop and say that we ought to be patriots for our country. Now, we're living in a day and an hour, as I'm going on radio today, we're living in a day and hour when it's not popular to be a patriot for America. We have this new movement that's come on the scene that is their goal is to destroy our history. Their goal is to destroy our identity as an American citizens, and you cannot erase what's happened in this country. Now, friend, we've taken God from the schoolroom, we've taken the Bible from the schoolroom, but you cannot erase our history that this nation was founded upon God. It was not founded upon some other religion. Now, me and my wife were talking about it this morning on the way in the office. When you have a lack of truth and a vacuum, you're going to have false religion creep in. What's going to happen to America is we're going to become a heathen nation. We really are. Because we are forgetting where we came from. We're forgetting the God of our fathers. And it's not just in government. We're forgetting it in our churches. We think we're spiritual. We think we're doing the right thing. But we're really doing everything but worshiping God. So now let me just say to you that we ought to be patriots in this. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Render therefore to all their dues." The Bible said, "Tribute to whom tribute." That means you're to pay taxes to who you owe taxes to. A tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. We are to honor. By the way, I'm just going to say it again today. And I know that some people don't like me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And you preachers need this. You really do. I have never seen so many presidential jokes that go around among our preacher brethren. I want to say this to you, that we as American citizens ought to take the office of President of the United States of America seriously. No matter who is in that office, we are to abide by. In other words, if they don't cross the Bible, then we're to abide by their leadership. And, you know, you have certain groups of people that when a certain president goes in, they'll say, well, he's not my president. And then you'll have the other group, and they'll say when the other man goes in, well, he's not my president. Well, wait a minute. If we're citizens of America, he is our president. And we ought to we ought to honor that. And during the Reconstruction, as the South had came back into the Union, there was a man walked up to the White House gate, and he demanded to see President Lincoln. And the guard said, "Sir, you can't see him." And he said, "I guess I can." He said, "I demand to see the president." And the guard said something to him, and he said, "Hey," he said, "I might be from the South, but he's my president too." Now, let me say this to you, that I do not engage, and I'm not better than you, but I don't engage in these presidential jokes. I think that we ought to leave them out of the pulpit. I know, preachers, you may not like that, but let me tell you something. We are to give fear and honor to whom honors you. By the way, I think we ought to honor our police. Amen. Policemen are not bad people. Police men and women lay their lives on the line every day in this country. We live in a lawless society. I heard on the news the other day about how somebody just crashed a truck through a store in I believe it's California, and just carted off whatever they wanted out of the store. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're living in a lawless society, and we need God. We need God, and we need some patriotism. Amen. So these women here in the days of Saul, in the days of David, they had just had a great major victory. I mean, Israel had sat over there on the mountainside for 40 days and 40 nights while this 9-foot-tall army tank come out and bragged about what he would do. Well, David took care of that in the name of the Lord. And so now we have these women coming out, and they're celebrating. They're celebrating. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a patriot. There's nothing wrong with the Star Spangled Banner, and there's nothing wrong with the flag. And by the way, you ought to reverence your patriots, amen, your veterans, your soldiers. I've told you this story on the radio many times, but I'll tell you again. I was in the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina one day. I was waiting on an appointment to see a doctor, and I was sitting there in the waiting room, and I heard these two men talking about the military, and they were old men, and one of them had been in the military, and he's talking to the other. Maybe both of them had been in the military. I don't know. But as the doctor called me back, I stopped at those two old men, and I held my hand out, and I remember saying to the man, I said, "Sir, I want to thank you for your service." And I can't help but tell that and get a little choked up because I believe in the military. And I walked away. And I heard that old man tell that other man. He said, "You see that right there? You see that right there?" He said, "That's what makes it all worthwhile." And brother, I'm talking to some veterans today. All you want is somebody to appreciate the sacrifice you made. Let me tell you something. World War I, America had to do what she had to do. World War II, you listen to me. If America had not gotten involved in World War II, we'd have been under some other dictatorship by this time. The Vietnam War was a war that people did not care about, but it was a war that was needed, and we should have won that war. The Korean War, the Gulf War, all these wars. And let me say, we got veterans out there that have given their lives. Some of them have had mental problems because of the stress that they were under. And we ought to thank God for those men and women that have served in the military. We ought to thank God for them. We ought to hold them high. We ought to honor them. Amen. And listen, we ought to give them the best care that we can give as far as medical care when they come out of the service, and we ought to do that. So now, here, there's nothing wrong with being a patriot. Amen. It was good to honor the victory that had just happened here in Israel. All right. Now, but we have a problem here. These women are praising, and they're saying, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. We're going to deal with that, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. These women were singing and dancing to King Saul, and there's one problem that we find in this verse of Scripture. There is no mention of God whatsoever. Now, you remember this. You remember this, that Saul was a fleshly king. Saul, although Samuel had anointed him to be king, Saul, it was supposed to be a new day for Israel. It's supposed to be. But Saul was a fleshly king. Now, remember, let's notice again what these ladies are doing. Look at verse number 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. All right. Now, they made a statement here. Now, in verse number 7, they made a statement. Amen. They said this. They said, and the women answered the Bible said, one another, and as they played, and said, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, here's the deal. They were giving all the glory to David. Now, there's nothing wrong with lifting up a man. There's nothing wrong with having a hero in America. And by the way, policemen and veterans ought to be your heroes. But wait a minute, wait a minute. There was no mention of God as God giving the victory to Israel. And this was the downfall. This praise ended up costing David a lot of trouble. And David had to run for his life. David had to flee later, and we'll see that. But now here, these women are praising, but they're praising the wrong thing. Now, I want to say this. There's a lot of people get their eyes on people. You know that? There's a lot of older women. I hate to say this. They'll get their eyes on some young preacher because he's good looking. Amen. Now you better be careful of that, boys. Amen. And there's some older men. They'll get their eyes on some young lady in the church that's 40 years younger than they are. Amen. You got to be careful with that, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Got to be careful of that. And so these women were getting their eyes on David, and they were sort of, they wasn't exactly worshiping David, but they were giving David all the praise. Now in our society today, we give men the praise. And I hate to say that. I'm going to get off of the David just for a second here and take a little detour. I think in our churches, we're giving men too much praise. I think that there is too much personality in preaching. Now, I know that some of y'all may not like that. But ladies and gentlemen, we are not to preach to be popular. And we're not to preach to be famous. And we're not to preach, fellas. We're not to preach to get a meeting. I'm not to come on the radio and to form my messages so that every pastor listening to me will get me for a meeting. Now, here's the deal. What preacher does not want meetings? I desire to preach in other churches that I might help the people and help the pastor of those churches. I do not want to preach in other churches so that men can say, Brother Ricky is booked up. Brother Ricky is preaching all over the country. Well, first of all, I don't know if Brother Ricky could handle preaching all over the country or not. I don't know that. Amen. I know this. As of the time I'm recording this, and I'm sure it's going to change one day probably. I've never flew in an airplane, so I don't know how that would work. Amen. But I am saying this to you, that if we preach to please men, we're not pleasing God. The book of Galatians tells us that. Amen. So I'm to preach to please the Lord, and we're to take the personality out of it. Now, we're lifting man up too high in our churches today. Now, remember in Exodus chapter number 15, when Moses had just come across the Red Sea and the children of Israel, remember what they said in Exodus 15 and verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed, and the devil don't even say that word, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, here's the deal. There was God in that song. Moses and the children of Israel recognized early on that God is the one that gives the victory. Now, let me say this to you. God's the one ended World War II. Not us with the bomb. God's the one gave us the technology to do that. God is the one that brought the... I remember when the first Gulf War broke out in 1990. And in the first 100 hours, we could have marched on down downtown Baghdad and saved a lot of lives had we not did what we did. But anyway, it was pin pricking and hitting certain targets, and we was more concerned about a new world order than we was about defeating the enemy. But anyway, so we should have went on in there. But anyway, here's the deal: did you know that every American soldier in the army in 1989, 1990? That every soldier in that army got at least one Bible, and some of them got three, where people sent them by. People got concerned about that war. People got stirred up. I don't know if you remember or not, but if you remember, they would fire those missiles at Israel, those Scud missiles, trying to drag Israel into the war. And I remember my uncle, he'd call me. He worked second shift at the plant, and he'd call me, and he asked me, did they send another Scud missile over? I said, yeah, they shot another one off. He'd want to know what was going on. And the thing is, about that was this. God protected Americans. God protected people during that time. God was in that. And I tell you why God was in that. Because the leader of Iraq in that day came out praising his God. And he made it his God about the God of heaven. Oh, you see. So God worked in that war. But now wait a minute. It is God that has given us every victory that we've ever had. You can't have a victory in a war without God. All right. So you can't have a victory in this country without God. So people, fail to give God the glory. Well, we're guilty of that. Even in our churches, we're guilty of that. But we put too much trust in man today. Now, Saul was a fleshly man. Saul loved the idea of people putting trust in him. Psalm 118, verse number 8 said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You preachers, you preacher boys, you young men, you think that some of you do that if you get known, if you get with the right fella, they can get you somewhere in the ministry. And I'm going to say this. They can in man. There's a big difference in man using man and God using man. And unfortunately today, man is using man more than God is using man. It's not about God and the Holy Spirit anymore. It's about me and my connections. It's about me and my friends. It's about who I have met along the way. And I'm going to tell you, God is sick of that mess. God was so sick of the church of Laodicea that the Bible said that he spewed them out of his mouth. He puked at that church. And I believe God looks at some of our stuff today, some of our honoring of... Now, by the way, well, hold on just a minute. You've never met a preacher that believes in honoring older men more than I do. You see, I believe we're letting down. I believe our younger preachers ought to look to the old preachers. Amen? I don't hold the idea when you get 65, you ought to automatically leave your church because you're old and outdated and the young people need somebody else. I got some words for you. That's hogwash and pickle juice. I just want you to know that. Amen? We need some old men of God that have been around a while, and these young men need to take note and learn from the old men. Amen? Now, if you don't like that, then you take it up with the Lord. You pray and I about it, and the Lord will show you that I'm right. But here's the deal. I honor old men. I honor them. All my friends are older than me. But wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I do not want to lift any man above God. Man is just man. Man could never do for me what God has done for me. Psalm 118, verse number 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." That's chief rulers. Amen. My confidence today is not in the government. Somebody said, "Oh, if we can just get the right people in, our country is going to straighten out." My confidence is not in the government, friend. The government has always been wicked. There's always going to be wickedness there. There's wickedness in the church. My confidence is in the Lord, and your confidence ought to be in the Lord. And so here, what they were doing in Israel was David had just killed the giant. There was a sense of victory, and that was good. But the problem was they left God out of it. Now I go a little bit deeper here, and I'm getting a little bit more trouble. That'd be all right. But I want to say something in our church world today. We lift man up that if you're a preacher and you have not been to Bible college, you're lower down than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Now I want to say something about that. I want you to listen to me. I honor men that go to college. I honor men that get degrees. And you young boys, you listen to me. I think you ought to go to college, and I think you ought to study, and I think you ought to learn, and I think you ought to work at it, and I don't think you ought to get in the middle of it and drop out just because you're too lazy to do the job. Okay, is that okay? All right. But I'm going to say this to you. Going to Bible college will not make you a preacher. I want you to understand. I want you to listen to me. I detest this statement right here. "I'm studying for the ministry." No, you ain't. You may be studying because you're in the ministry, but you're not studying for the ministry. You're either called to preach or you ain't called to preach. Amen. Now, you can say what you want to say, but we've got a lot of men that are studying for the ministry, quote unquote, and they've filled our pulpits and they've never been called of God. My friend, you won't last in the ministry if you're not called of God. The Bible said, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." The Bible said in Acts 13, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." That word means to summon. If God does not give you a specific calling for something, you'll be no good at it. You say, "Well, I'm going to go to the mission field because I can do great things for God." You'll do nothing if God has not called you there. I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible. And you always take verses and compare them with other verses. But I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible that sticks out to me. John 15. The Bible said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And the Holy Ghost reminds me of that very often in my ministry. "Without me, ye can do nothing." You say, "Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach a series on this." Well, without me, ye can do nothing. Well, I'm going to preach on that subject. "Without me, ye can do nothing." I remember the last church I pastored. I had a certain subject that I wanted to preach on for 7 years, 6 years I pastored that church. And I intended to preach on that subject. And you know, the Holy Spirit never led me to preach on that subject, never did. Now listen, every church in the Bible needed specific things. The church of Corinth didn't need what Philippi needed, and Philippi didn't need what Thessalonica needed, and Thessalonica didn't need what the churches of Galatia needed, and the church of Colossae needed. And Paul addressed every individual church according to what they need. So when you take a church preacher, what you need to do is get in tune with heaven. And you need to find out what God wants for that church. It ain't what you want. It ain't what your preacher friends want. It's what God wants. And I'm going to say some things. Now, please don't get mad at me. I know some of y'all, you get ruffled up at me a little bit sometimes. But I love you. But I'm going to say something to you. I have nothing wrong with a man having a doctor's degree. I want you to understand that. But I want to say, being a doctor does not make you a preacher. I picked up a book the other day. Matter of fact, I bought it at the bookstore from a famous preacher. He's a good preacher, and I won't call his name. I hesitate calling men's name on the radio that's still living. And this man's still living. He's a good man, and he's a good man. But I noticed something when I picked that book up. It didn't say Dr. So-and-so. It just had his name. Now, I had a man years ago that talked to me about, and the man meant well. He wanted to write a book. And he wanted to do something for God, but he was hung up on the idea that he had to be a doctor before he could publish a book. That is hogwash, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this to you. If you publish a book and the Holy Ghost is on that book, people will read that book. You don't have to have a doctor's degree to publish a book. Now, it's okay if you have a doctor's degree, but I'm going to tell you what the late Vance Havner said, and I'm going to agree with him. I think we ought to get the doctors back in the hospitals and the preachers back in the pulpit. Amen? It's just Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. And brother, that's not what the Bible said for us to do. Now, we have a tendency as Baptist preachers sometimes. I know this message ain't going to win me a gold medal, but we have a tendency sometimes to leave out the scriptures that we want to leave out, don't we? Well, let's look at Matthew for a minute, 23:7. I know we're a little bit off of the beaten path here, but here's the deal. In Israel, they were praising man more than they was God, and this was going to get David in a bunch of trouble, and I'll show you that at the end of the message. Right now, not of David's own doing. But I tell you, praise will ruin you if you ain't careful. I'm going to say this to you before I read this scripture. When I was a young preacher, everybody praised me. My mama built me up. I was the first preacher in our family, in the Cawthorn family. As far as I know, I think they said one of our uncles was a preacher or something, but years ago. But I was the first in the modern day preacher of the Cawthorn family. Now, we've had some other Cawthorns that are preachers now, and that's good. And we thank God for it. And we've had some men and that are preachers. But let me say this to you. When I started preaching, everybody praised me. Everybody built me up. Everybody said what a good fella he is. And I'm going to tell you what that did to me. It made me arrogant. It made me prideful. It made me think I knew everything. And so when I took my first church, I didn't need God. I knew everything there was to know. And I did a good job. I lasted 4 months. I fell on my face. Let me tell you what, my second church, I didn't do much better. I started it and stayed there a year. But you know what? Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. I need God. And you need God. Amen. But now I want you to notice what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse number 7. The Bible said, and it's talking about the Pharisees, said that, and greetings in the markets, they love that, and to be called of men rabbi. People love titles. We're living in that day. Every young preacher now, and I know I'm going to plow some cotton, every young preacher now has got to have a title, youth pastor, this minister, this pastor, this young people's pastor. I don't know all the titles. And by the way, I am not mad at you if you're a youth pastor of a church. But I never have understood why in the world we'd put a 20-year-old boy pastoring our youth when we need probably need a 50-year-old. If you're going to instruct youth, you need somebody older to give them experience, you see. I don't understand. I'm not against that. Now, somebody said, he preached against our youth pastor. No, I didn't say that. I'm just simply telling you that you young preachers don't have to have a title. You know, my good friend, and he was some of your good friend, Dr. Stennett Ballew. Y'all remember him, don't you? Did you know he did have a doctor's degree? Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast today. If you'd like a copy of today's message, it's R453-30. Just put today's date on there, December 21 or December 20th, whichever you get in the broadcast, and tell us you want the message. And we'll send it right back in the mail to you. Also, we can email it to you, comments@gbiradio.org. Just send us that, and we can email it to you as well. We certainly appreciate you. Our mailing address is The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Until our next broadcast, may the Lord be with you, is my prayer. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.